This BBC podcast is supported by ads outside the UK.
I'm Nicola Coughlan, and for BBC Radio 4, this is History's Youngest Heroes. Rebellion, risk, and the radical power of youth.
She thought, right, I'll just do it. She thought about others rather than herself.
12 stories of extraordinary young people from across history.
There's a real sense of urgency in them, that resistance has to be mounted, it has to be mounted now.
Follow History's Youngest Heroes wherever you get your podcasts.
Listening to natural soundscapes is quite often an effective way of calming the mind, from the sound of birdsong to flowing water. But believe it or not, the sound you're currently listening to is of a glacier melting in Antarctica. As much as it's an incredibly beautiful and relaxing sound, it's also a tragedy. Last year, NASA reported that Antarctic sea ice had reached historic lows, and this sound represents the physical sound of climate change. Hello, and welcome to the documentary In the Studio from the BBC World Service, the programme that investigates the world's most creative minds as they make new work and share it with the world. I'm Tom Raine, and in this episode, we're exploring the depths of music and climate change with Madame Gandhi.
When icebergs are melting, what's actually happening is freshwater icebergs are melting into the rising levels of the seawater. And so a lot of air bubbles get released. And it's so beautiful because it's so fresh and abundant. Imagine being really thirsty and then you just like cold, fresh water is just so appealing. I felt that when I listened to that sound. And it's also a tragic sound because it's literally the sound of our planet melting.
Born Kiran Gandhi, she's an American artist, activist and producer who originally started out as a percussionist for popular British artist MIA, an American electronic music duo, Thievery Corporation. She holds a master's degree in music science technology at Stanford University and is on a mission to find innovative ways of using music to motivate and inspire people to care about climate change.
When we fall in love with sounds, when we feel good, when we rest because of the way cicadas sound at night in Costa Rica, when we rest because of the way there's true silence in Antarctica and we just hear waves and oceans and it's soothing. We all complain about anxiety in a busy city, but nature has made it so easy. And so I think there's an opportunity on the part of entertainers, musicians, creatives to really bring us back in unique ways.
In 2022, Kiran was invited to Antarctica by an organisation called Daybreaker to record the sounds of the icy continent, from melting glaciers to loud Gentoo penguins. What resulted was a sample pack made from the sounds of Antarctica, creating ice beats, penguin synthesizer leads, and other ambient sounds. They're freely accessible online so that producers, DJs, and musicians can use the sounds to make music from a completely natural source. On this episode of In the Studio, we're going to join Kiran on a new expedition, this time to the Arctic Circle. Well, she'll be recording everything from glaucous gulls, black-legged kittiwakes and common guillemots, as well as Arctic foxes, seals, and maybe, if we're lucky, some polar bears. We'll then return to her studio in London to see exactly how Kiran resculpted these sounds into hi-hats, kicks, snare drums, bass tones and more, as well as understanding how nature music can help push people's understanding of climate change.
It's easy for us to behave in a destructive way if we don't see our immediate impact. You know, not to get too dark, but there's a reason why they keep prisons and jails away from the general population. Because I do believe that if we as humans were to really see the way our justice system punishes people and treats people, we would have immediate reform. But because we don't see it and we're not confronted with it, the empathy opportunity is what's lacking. And so a similar requirement needs to be there for the planet. And so with music, the idea is that if it gives you a little bit of joy, if it drops you in, if it puts you to sleep, if it wakes you up, if it made you feel calm, if it opened up your heart, maybe there's a little bit more of a desire to want to give it back and protect the planet.
So it's Wednesday, the 19th of June, 2024. One day before Kiran sets off for her adventure in the North Pole. and I'm on my way to her house to have a little chat about her plans, all the things she's been preparing, what she's thinking, how she's feeling ahead of the trip, and to see what she's packed. Thank you. Hey,
hello,
Kieran.
My friend.
How are you doing?
You
alright?
How are you?
Yeah, really well. How are you?
Yeah, so good to see you.
Yeah, you too. Yeah. Shall we have a sit down and a little catch up?
Yes, absolutely. Let's do it.
Right, well, one day before your journey to the North Pole, how are you feeling?
There's a energy inside me that's the little kid coming to life. And the adult in me always wants to make something more of a purpose and something that is with depth. And so I feel like I'm fusing my childlike side, which is just excited to go to such a special place, and mixing it with my adult side, which is how do we take such a lifetime adventure and use it as a giving back opportunity to create more empathy and awareness around climate.
What are you expecting from the Arctic Circle, from the North Pole, climate-wise? But also, what are you expecting from the North Pole in general? Do you know much about it before going there?
I've learned not to have too many expectations, but I have learned that the best way to record is to be present and ready at all times. I think the days that I thought I was going to get whales and this and that, you end up getting nothing. And the days you think you're going to get nothing, you end up getting the most beautiful whistling of the wind and like the crackling of a glacier melting in the warming ocean. You know, so like my hope, let's say, in the Arctic Circle, my hope is for more sea life, for more, and we have lots of, I have different hydrophones, the ones that I made as well as professional grade hydrophones. And I hope to see a polar bear in the wild. I hope to see different animals, foxes. One of the islands has a huge collection of bird life. You know, obviously bird sounds are a stunning source of being able to make music in high pitch frequencies. But what I wanted to share also was that it's both tragedy and amazing that it's going to be so warm when we go there. You know, I think we're so afraid of the Arctic being freezing, but I think the truth is that it's not even that cold anymore.
It's like warm. I was quite surprised, and I looked at the weather forecast for Tumsa tomorrow when you'll be there. It's like 16 degrees Celsius.
There you go. And so that's also, there's like an urgency with projects like this. Like I think, you know, I'd like to think that some of the sounds that we capture now, we may not be able to capture in 30, 50, 100 years from now. So there is an urgency in terms of just the wildlife being on the planet.
So what time are you waking up tomorrow?
The alarm goes off at 4 and we head to the airport at 4:30 and we'll fly London to Oslo and then Oslo to Tromso. And then we're actually going to be living on a ship for 10 days. So we're fully just traveling through the Arctic Circle from the Norwegian side, 800 miles south of the actual North Pole.
Have the best time. Right.
Thank you, see you in a bit.
See you on the other side.
Mwah.
Having been encouraged by her family to leave the world in a better place than she found it, it is perhaps not surprising that social change and activism forms a key part of Madam Gandhi's work. In 2015, she went viral for running the London Marathon whilst free bleeding as a way of combating menstrual stigma faced by women and girls.
I had this moment where I caught myself and I was like, gosh, I'm on a marathon course. I have a job to do. My job is not for me to look a certain way for other people's consumption. My job is to get something done here and do the best I can. And then that moment I said, I'm going to run free. No one talks about periods in a comfortable, empowered way.
Over the course of the next 10 days, Kieran sent me a mixture of voice notes and Arctic sounds that she'd been recording in the North Pole.
Tom, it's Kieran. It's been an amazing first day. We arrived safely to Tromso and we boarded the ship. And one of the most important things that we learned on this initial introduction was that this is the last year that people are going to have the kind of access to Svalbard in the way that we have, just to create a lot more conservation around climate. And so that just created a lot more urgency around this sound project and a lot more excitement for me personally. The Arctic Ocean, day 2, beginning of the voyage, sailing from Tromso, the north of Norway, up to Bear Island, halfway to Svalbard, and the swell is high, it's a turbulent sea, and here's what it sounds like. Hello Tom, we are experiencing some really bad sickness on day 2 of the expedition.
It's very, very intense, very rocky. Breathing helps. Being horizontal helps because it feels like a little baby being rocked in a cradle. But trying to walk around and do things is very, very difficult. But this is the longest part of the passage from the top of Norway to Svalbard. And hopefully we'll be stopping halfway at Bear Island, which can be exciting. Another thing that we learned yesterday was that polar bears are, in fact, extremely dangerous. And if we were to actually see one, we have to evacuate. And that they are bringing guns and bear protection on the actual journey. So hopefully sounds will be possible from afar, but I had to sort of rule that out of my expectation list.
It wasn't the best start to Kieran's trip, as amongst the sickness on the boat and the news about the polar bears, it turned out to be too windy and dangerous to make the landing on Bear Island as planned and capture the sounds of the diverse bird life that it's known for. She tried to record the birds from afar, but when you're up against wind like this, you're not going to have much luck. I was beginning to worry that Mother Nature would prevent Kieran from recording anything at all, so hopefully things would calm down, as on day 3 and 4, she was due to head out on a motorised raft called the Zodiac to record the sounds of melting glaciers in Svalbard.
Fjord ice melting into the sea on the shore, day 4.
Tom, I'm messaging you from Svalbard on the continent, in the Arctic, 800 miles south of the North Pole, and I'm so pleased to say I feel like I've already found the pinnacle sound of our trip. Twice I was able to record the sounds of icebergs melting. The icebergs were hovering over a very, very small cliff right on the shore where the shore meets the beach. And it was these icicles melting into the ocean water. And so again, fresh water melting into seawater. And the sound was so musical, like analog synthesizers, just so beautiful.
Oh my God, this is it.
Now I'm about to go back and try to record the same sound, but this time underwater with the hydrophone and see how far I get.
After a very productive day of gathering sounds, day 5 would prove to be slightly more difficult.
Day 5, there's just been a polar bear sighting, and so we are required to vacate the land because it's no longer safe. And so this is the sound of everyone mildly panicking and packing up the operation very quickly.
We all were able to watch the polar bear enjoy a beach walk and then a little Arctic swim. And we watched from the ship, which was pretty incredible. And it is unfortunately still quite rare to see a polar bear. They are endangered, but then I've also been told recently that in Norway, the polar bear population is now expanding again, which is exciting.
Day 6 of the trip would be Kieran's penultimate day in Svalbard before cruising the North Cape with the rest of the passengers. And after the delays heading to Bear Island on day 2, I was hoping she would finally be able to record the sounds of the biggest seabird colony in the Northern Hemisphere.
Day 6, and the name of the place is
Alkefjellet.
And the name of this bird species is
Brunich Villemot.
And this is our friend and Zodiac driver,
Margherita.
Thomas, Kieran, it's day 6. Earlier today, it was absolutely incredible. We went to the Bird Island, which I know you had flagged on the itinerary when we were preparing for the trip. And that was absolutely a highlight. The crew actually gave us our own dedicated guide and Zodiac raft. And I just recorded the most majestic sounds of birds, basically in their sort of mating time of year since it's summer.
Oh.
That bird is called an oyster catcher, day 9, in the fjord.
Tom, it's Kieran, day 9, and the final day aboard the ship on this trip. I really am just so blown away by how much we were able to capture. I think we will have to do a lot of doctoring on the back end of removing chatter and the hums of engines, but luckily a lot of the technology these days is actually AI powered, and you can remove some of that background noise quite easily by identifying the frequencies and then just removing it and cleaning the audio. I'll be doing some file management for the next week or so, and then I'll be working with my team to start going through the sounds and making music out of them July 17th to the 25th. So that's going to be pretty incredible. See you on the other side.
You're listening to the documentary In the Studio from the BBC World Service.
World of Secrets is where untold stories are exposed. And in this new series, we investigate the dark side of the wellness industry, following the story of a woman who joined a yoga school only to uncover a world she never expected.
I feel that I have no other choice. The only thing I can do is to speak about this.
Where the hope of spiritual breakthroughs leaves people vulnerable to exploitation.
You just get sucked in so gradually, and it's done so skillfully that you don't realise.
World of Secrets, The Bad Guru. Listen wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
I'm Tom Rain, and we're following the creative process of Madame Gandhi as she records the sounds of the Arctic Circle and turns them into music. It's now the 24th of July 2024, about a month since Kieran returned from her trip to the North Pole. For the last few days, she's been hard at work listening to and labelling her raw Arctic sounds and deciding how best to use them. A few days ago, she sent me a video of some of her experiments, this one with an oyster catcher, and it completely blew me away.
Hey. That's the seabird!
I knew I had to watch her work, so I joined her for a virtual studio session from her mum's home in New York City. Hey, Kieran, how are you doing?
I am doing so well. I'm joining you from upstate New York.
Is this your room? Is this like your family home, or is this a different house?
Yes, I'm up in the top floor in the attic, which I really enjoy using as my office space.
So what are you working on today?
So the first part of the process is to really just go through all of the hundreds of sounds in their rawest form and start cutting down to the main events, deleting the, you know, mistake tracks, let's say, that are just part of the process, and labeling.
Right.
The concept of micro sampling is what allows us to make electronic music using only the organic sound material. So that's why I find this thesis right. So powerful.
So actually, it's just the nature sound. It's still exactly. Just the sound. There's no actual effects exactly. That have been put on it.
Yeah. We create a little simpler, which is essentially Ableton's simple sampler. And then we take a sound that we like. So let's just listen. That's nice. So we're going to drag it in.
So I can see the waveform. And you're cutting I can see you're cutting the middle section of the waveform.
Got it. That's exactly right. Maybe make it a little louder.
Okay. It's a lot shorter.
That's nice. Okay, and then we start shaping it. It's really that simple. So we're going to... So you see how I've shaped it?
So what are you doing here? So you're adding... Is it attack, decay, and sustain?
Yeah, so I'm sculpting the ADSR, which is the attack, the decay, the sustain, and the release of the shape of how we experience the sound. So I'm cutting away so that I can create a percussive experience out of the sound.
Okay.
So already that could be usable. That's already immediately percussive.
Ooh.
That's how easy it is. So that's the concept at its core. And then I might call that the snare. I could also duplicate this and play it at a lower note frequency. So just... experiencing the sound at a lower frequency. I'm playing with it. That's nice. So that's already, I'm going to make it louder. We're getting more into kick territory. Nice. I can also cut off the higher frequency. So again, I'm sculpting, I'm removing the higher. But less is more.
Wow.
Like the more I mess with it, the more electronic it sounds and the larger of a departure from the original
earthy feeling of the sample. What makes it special is all of those natural frequencies that come from the raw wave sound. So I'm sound designing and I'm sculpting to taste so that the listener can experience the kick drum in their mind as a kick drum. But I'm trying to find that sweet spot balance.
So you're trying, so you're listening out to hear if you can find a sweet spot in this sound, for example, between being as natural as possible, but also taking people to a place where they understand the sound of a kick.
Correct.
Or a snare. So that, and also that producers can understand the sound so they could then work with it in their own music.
Totally.
How long are you dedicating to this process?
The deadline is probably 6 weeks. And then within that 6 weeks, I'm doing my best to listen to all of the sounds, create a significant amount of different sounding drum sets such that maybe the person receiving the pack has like at least four different drum kits that they can make their own music out of. And then same idea with the synthesizers. I notice which are the key sounds, the Arctic waves, the glaciers melting, the seabirds, maybe a few other like very noteworthy sounds that are specific to the Arctic. And we make synth experiences from those core sounds and then create melody ideas. And then from there, 200, 300, one hits and loops, is enough to get people going.
Ooh.
And then this one is from the Seabirds.
Are you using your MIDI keyboard there?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And then this one is cool because we made very percussive, very ASMR Ooh. Sounding. This one we just kept as is. That's a water swirl. Can you hear that?
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Very ASMR.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Some crazy stuff. Let's see.
Already you started to play with grooves. That's so cool. So you're just doing that. Oh, man, that is awesome.
I always love it. I find it so nerdy.
So immediately, even just from playing that in today's session, that could be a song in itself or a beat in itself. Like,
that's the idea. Exactly right.
That's
exactly.
So cool. What are you hoping to achieve in the next few days or weeks?
If the Antarctica pack was a lot more focused on meditation and slower movement and huge glaciers, I'm interested in my Arctic Circle music to actually represent more motion and more energy. You know, when we were there, it was 24 hours sunlight. It was high energy. It was solar. It was empowered. It was, the birds are busy. The polar bears have energy. Like, there's a lot of action. And so I think the music is going to be a lot more lively. And as an American, having spent a lot more time in Europe, I'm so inspired by the dance music that's coming out of Europe and has been, you know? And so I think the goal for me personally is to make really good electronic music that you can dance to. That's 100% sourced from nature.
It was 3 months until I spoke again with Kieran about her Arctic sounds, as in the meantime, she released a track from our Antarctica project. It's called In Purpose, and officially credits nature as a contributor on streaming services, allowing royalties from the track to be directed towards climate charities through Brian Eno's climate foundation, Earth Percent. I managed to catch her again in late October in London so that she could show me how she was using her Arctic sounds to make constituent parts of tracks. Kieran, great to see you again. It's 3 months or so since we were experimenting together with all the different Arctic sounds that you recorded. What phase are you in now?
I am working on some different loops, both percussive and melodic, based on the different samples that I recorded. I like to create all of the different loops, whether they're bass lines, top lines, percussion, drums, so that I have kind of these skeleton ideas to then build compositions off of.
And how many of these sort of skeletons do you tend to need to build the block of a track or any kind of sort of composition?
The idea is to create 200 to 300 different loops and one hits, you know, so either it's just like ch or it's ch. So that would be a loop and the first one would be a one hit. And when I create a whole pack of all these different sounds, not only can I create music from it, but then I can outsource it as a production pack of tools that other people can make Arctic beats out of.
So in that respect, then, which sounds from the Arctic have spoken to you the most?
Right now I'm working on a Arctic wind glacier. So we found a little micro frequency in a sample of Arctic wind, and we're making a very low bass tone out of that. That's going to go, you know, as if you went to a club and you had like really nice subwoofers, except for this bass is made literally out of a sample of Arctic wind. And so now, when you microsample that wind sound that I played for you, it can literally sound like this. And something that is actually playable as an instrument.
It's really funny, isn't it, as well? Because when you were recording that wind, you were literally, if I remember rightly, you were trying to record birds from Bear Island from afar, but instead the wind was so terrible that this is what you got.
Yes, and it ends up being like one of our better sounds, but because it had those really beautiful, honest frequencies in the wind. And so that is also a big part of the process, and I appreciate you guiding me back to that, and that you have to be open. It's like in life we try to control so much, and so I definitely learned the humility of that process while trying to record one thing. I was blessed with this incredible, incredible wind sample that has formed the basis of our ocean air synthesizer. The process of making a beat is first identifying about 8 to 16 different individual hits that we're going to use to assemble what's considered a drum rack. So for example, this kick right here is made out of an ocean sound. This quote-unquote snare drum is made out of pebbles. Another one is here. Another one is here. And so I go through and create each of these individual hits. Then I map them to a 16-pad grid, 4x4, so that I can finger drum and make different loops and ideas out of the individual hits.
How do you hope that this music specifically raises consciousness about global warming and climate change?
The first is that you fall in love with the music. I think music has always been my choice as the medium for a message, because music makes you feel good. It makes you feel open to receive a message. It softens you. It drops you back into your heart space. Then after you fall in love with the music, there's something unique about it. You want more of it. You want to connect with nature more frequently. And when you have transformational experiences in your life, either because of what nature was giving you or spending time in a natural environment, then you feel more motivated to actually protect the planet and change your own behaviors so that you can be an individual agent for change. So that's sort of the three-step process that I envision, because that's how my life journey was transformed. I spent more time in nature, I fell in love with nature, and then I wanted to be an agent for change.
You've been listening to the documentary In the Studio from the BBC World Service with me, Tom Rain.
Hello, I'm Katia Adler, host of the Global Story podcast from the BBC. Each weekday, we break down one big news story with fresh perspectives from journalists around the world. From artificial intelligence to divisive politics tearing our societies apart. From the movements of money and markets to the human stories that touch our lives. We bring you in-depth insights from across the BBC and beyond. Listen to the Global Story wherever you get your BBC podcasts.